or a Java application, you loaded a .NET site or a jar or var or whatever you loaded it on your IIS or a Apache Tomcat or a Nginx, whatever your flavor you can choose. And the processing of that, if you could take out the business logic of it, which is not a bit transactional, that means it could be finished in a 10 seconds gap or a 5 seconds, not 10 seconds, a very huge time, or 5 milliseconds. It's like writing in a JavaScript, a set timeout, and you know, executing it parallelly in the session. For those kind of workloads we are talking about and how you could do it. You've heard about IIS, good enough. You've heard about PaaS, and that is where the gentleman is talking about worker role. So worker roles are primarily planned to doing this. That means worker roles. These are web roles, static sites, or some sort of easy dynamic sites. While worker roles actually do the dynamic processing, okay, the number crunching, any kind of this thing. Today we are using very good, we use, rightly said, web jobs and all that, what you are trying to use. Basically, this was designed to be a worker role part. However, there was a catch. When you do a worker role deployment, basically you are creating virtual machines and giving it. That means you're giving the full machine to a particular work. And while, now think of a case, you've got a web application separate on a web job, and you've got a separate worker role or separate, you're paying twice the money. You're a fat company, you want to pay the money, good enough. From a performance point of view, if you want to save the money, let's try to find out what are the various ways of saving this money and bringing efficiency in the system. It's not a question because your company has got larger money, you should invest it. You should use it wisely. You know, this question is using this frugal. So large scale background task on Azure. So after 15 minutes of discussion, now I tell you the title of this thing, which you might have read on the outside board. Large scale background task on Azure that we are trying to cover. And believe me, this is heart of every application. You might be very floored with a nice user interface and everything and all that. Ultimately, enterprise applications work only on how are you managing your background tasks. If you're not managing your well, you load a website and most of them, you'll take 10 seconds to load, 15 seconds to load. You tell, sir, there are a lot of users. Users both, then. But I mean, if users are there, the login will be slow, while the data will be slow. That means something you are doing which you're not supposed to do in the front end. Okay, anyway, there. But in addition to that, services. What difference? I did a morning session, a complete session I did with AWS versus Azure. I don't know whether somebody attended it or not. In a Amazon versus Azure complete session, I told you where the differences lie. What makes you decide a particular flavor? And I'm not favoring X versus Y, you know. So I'm just saying that what are the various factors by which you decide whether you should take AWS or you should take Azure, okay? So I'll go to the slide as I miss what I'm trying to commit to you. I'll cover four things: batch, web jobs, worker roles, schedulers. All four of them have parallels. 80% of them is parallel. You'll be using one or each one of them or multiple of them. Why you should use, I'm trying to give you various use cases of this. That's all. Can you fulfill all your requirements using one of them? Nearly so. Okay? But you'll be more, it's like, can you fulfill all things using an ASP.NET website? Yes. But if you can do a Python application for doing some kind of background processing or a number crunching, you should do so. Okay? So that's what I'm trying to do. Batch job. What is a batch job? Batch job is you want to bunch a couple of jobs into a series of bunch and give it to a worker. Okay, you do it. That's what you do to your secretary. Okay, you give him a 10 of jobs and you do it for you. So a batch job, she has to fulfill 9 to 5 while you're busy doing your meetings. So while the front end thread is busy doing her meetings, the secretary or somebody is processing the jobs which are normal mails, mundane tasks and everything, which are repetitive kind of jobs. So first criteria, it should be mundane, not mundane actually, repetitive kind of job which can you do in a batch. Number thing is, it should be collection of jobs which you do. So you create all these collection jobs and I'll give you various examples. One of the examples was very clear cut, was image crunching, you know, database entry, some kind of manipulation, business reports. For example, you're doing BI, you can do a real-time BI. But real-time BI is important for a mall where you are swiping the card and you want to give the mobile an offer of ICICI Bank offers you a 10% discount. Say for example, okay, some kind of real-time analytics is important. Okay, if you're doing that, then you're not talking about a background job. You're talking about stream analytics. Another session you will join. This is a stream kind of job immediately. Otherwise, normally you are building up a weekly report or daily report or business report, something like that, which could be separately done. For those kind of things, you should not block the user interface, you should use this kind of batch jobs kind of job, EOD kind of transaction, what you do nowadays, you know, that EOD 12 to 1 o'clock will not serve everything because you're doing ERP processing, that kind of things you could do. So there is batch. I'll describing that, then I'll show you the user interface, I'll go into developer details, then I'll go deep into it, depends on what you want. This is the last session. So officially, I'm supposed to close at 5:15. If you're interested, we'll close at 5:30. If you want to go home early, 5 o'clock is good enough for me. No worries. So bad jobs, web jobs. What are web jobs? Similar kind of thing. What web jobs does it? When you do an Azure website or a service, what you're basically doing? You're paying to the vendor, which is a Microsoft in this case, okay, a certain amount of part of the virtual machine. I'll use this part, which depending on, it's a free, shared, standard, basic. There are various classifications of Azure websites. In that, a part of that. But you always wondered, say my site is not being loaded and my CPU is only 40%. Why am I wasting 60% of my CPU uses? Can I take it to 80%? You can take it to, but you go to IT admin and you say, no sir, but the problem is if you take it to 80%, suddenly spike comes in, what happens, it crashes. Yes, it's true, but on-premise. That is why I never took it 80%. But the cloud, if it goes to 80%, another instance anyway spawns off. So you don't care. You can infinitely scale up. So you should use web jobs because you want to, an efficient machine should normally be running at 80%. Like a human mind should be running at 80%, okay? Don't give me so much work. I mean, 30% is good enough for human mind. But anyway, you should normally run a CPU at 80%. 80% of RAM consumption, you are well off and you are doing well. Okay. So from a web jobs point of view, I want to use that Azure website which is there. How can you create that? That I will discuss separately. I just discuss you the different classifications. Same worker role, we already covered that. It was original part of PaaS. Okay. And in the PaaS application, we used to have a web role and worker role. We were throwing the complete virtual machine to it. Okay, to do a particular task, you may be using it, you may not be using it completely. It was not that great thing. That's why we created all these parts. Fourth is schedulers. I'll just give you a history of why these things have come up, and you will be surprised. This was not a planned thing in none of these four except the worker role. All these three things have been brought out by Azure advisors. You know, there are people like us, you know, who don't have any work to do, okay, who are unnecessarily employed by their employers. And who go on these websites and all that and sit with the Azure engineering team. And they bring out that we are lacking this thing from a community point of view. All these things have been created by a community, the Azure advisors community, which is a 28 people worldwide. We sit together with the engineering team. We keep chatting on Yammer and all that, okay? And keep discussing technological problems. And this was brought by all our community efforts, which has come last year. It has, you know, gone production right now. Scheduler. If you see most of people who have used PaaS or IES or any other thing, your biggest problem in Azure was you did not have a system if you want to shut down a machine at 5:10 p.m. Okay, at 5:10 your test center machines, 50 people were developing, you want to shut down at 5 p.m., everybody goes home at 5 p.m. Okay, if somebody wants to extend it, it's okay, but I'm saying a general purpose. That means 8 o'clock, I've got work running, but you know, my HR application does not run after 8 o'clock because everybody goes home. So why don't I reduce this thing, okay? You could do it from an auto scale point of view, but there could be other number changes. For example, at 9 o'clock, you say my HR is reducing, but my EOD processing should start now only instead of going up to 12 o'clock. Some kind of processing. So start and fire it out at that point. The scheduler was very necessary. And we were using a lot of open source stacks to solve the scheduler problem, okay? You got a lot of open seats, you can sit down. Okay, sure. Oh, sorry. No worries. So, from a point of view, all these four things, okay, different use cases, different things, solving nearly same kind of a problem, okay, but they have got a different use case, okay, and depending on the use case, you should employ. Now, I'll go to more depth part of it. If you think it is going more dry and all that, please alert me. We're going to real life problems and we'll take your problems, okay. Bad jobs, I will run it very fast because it's more dev kind of a thing and not something, you know, a business team will like. Batch processing, batching with the mainframe computers and everything, I'll just skip that. This is what we're talking about. Cloud enables cluster applications. Imagine running at 100x scale. I want to deploy and 100,000 machines, zero cluster machines, Git operating system, HPC. Tomorrow, yesterday for HPC, you need to have special hardware, okay? Not even special hardware, the operating system itself, there were not many flavors of HPC which were available to you. If you saw open source stack, there was very few, okay? For Genome project, for example, when you're using a grid kind of system, when you're dividing and using your own laptop and your own mobile, your own laptop basically, for contributing, otherwise it would have taken 120 years, which you finished about 10 or 8 or 4 years, something years, you know, the Genome project. Same thing, batch producing, imagine running at 100 scale, tell Azure what to execute, you give the work. Azure takes care of scale for you, it automatically scales, okay? For example, you are doing encoding, media companies. you want to transcode, encode, you can do it very fast. You put out, say for example, Sony signed up a deal. I'm just taking names, you know. Just don't count that, okay, Sony is doing this, okay. So Sony buys a deal with, say, 20th century and says, I'm buying your 40,000 songs or 20,000 movies. When it receives, it might be receiving in a different format, maybe AVI format or MP4 format. It might like to convert into different draft bit rates, different 320p, 720p, 1080p, various use cases possible. Depending on that, encoding has to be done, that will be done by these kind of things. So for example, you get a same processing every file you take, you execute, transcode, and throws it out to the output, this thing. Same way you keep doing input, output, input, output, input, output. For that, you can maybe say, I will deploy because I have a cloud. On-premise, it was not possible, and I would have given a deadline of 20 days or 50 days to the business. I have signed license today. I want to go live tomorrow. And believe me, I'll not name the customer. There's a very favorite app, music app, which you people use, okay? And we had the same problem, and we suggested the same architecture. That time, only worker role was there. These things were not there. And so the need of the game, we said that why will you wait to process it for 25 days when you have paid the money on 19th? Why should not starting serving the customer on 20th? They said it's not possible. It takes 1 month to, you know, transcode, keep repairing, you know, repairing, pushing out to CD and everything. I said, no. Use cloud for what is worth. Stop thinking from an on-premise. The game has changed, okay. How do you leverage the game for you? That is the beauty of it, okay. I'll not tell you there's a BFSI client I'm serving. It's got about 70,000 employees. I'll not name the application also, not the client also, because I'm ready, I cannot disclose it. We are running an application for them, okay. And they want to scale out to, the MD wants to talk to 70,000 employees, and we're doing a town hall kind of scenario and all that. We are able to scale infinitely nearly. And there was a business team who was talking to me and asking me, are you sure, Captain, it is going to scoot infinitely nearly? I said, yes. I'm using cloud and I'm using not cloud, and lift and shift. I'm going to scale up infinitely nearly, okay? So I'm able to take 70,000 employees also infinitely, no problems. Develop solution service and rendering made easy. Rendering is an example only. It does not mean this is the only use case, okay? There could be very artifacts. Pamphlets, for example, you want to design pamphlets, okay? How you want to encode it, transcode it, into various formats? For example, you'll have 7 formats. Logos. You might think it's a very small thing, but you believe me, I mean, for your logos, getting an EPS file, a JPEG file, and all that for every brand and everything, pushing it out to everybody. What about pushing news, pushing alerts? You can take a lot of things which you could do using a SharePoint. You might be using a SharePoint for that, paying a huge cost to it. You can deploy this thing and push out to every mobile device and every user. So there are a lot of different use cases you think about. It's your imagination only which is a limitation. Technology is already there, okay? So let's go next. Azure WebJobs and worker roles. Yes, please. I'll cover it a little bit. I'll show you on one of the slides. I'll show you the comparison, and in depth I'll discuss with you what you should do for what. So I'll tell you what is it being used for and where the slight differences, okay, which will help you decide what you should use for. Nearly all are same. See, scheduler is a known thing. You know scheduler for scheduling things. So when you say scheduler, I won't write a job in the scheduler. My scheduler will be only an interval kind of thing. It's a ticker, okay. So this is just a clock, okay. That's all. From a web jobs and worker roles and all that, okay, there are parallelism which can be drawn and all that. And the use cases I'll try to explain to you, okay? I'll try to cover the full slide and then maybe try to take questions from them. These are web jobs. What you do is you're running Azure website already. You're putting money there, okay, and you're able to scale your website. That means I'll give you an example. Say, for example, I'll give you an example which doesn't apply. You were seeing Infosys.com was scaling up and they were using a team sites, okay, a SharePoint site. If you're a normal .NET site or a PHP site or something like that and they want to scale infinitely, instead of managing the cluster, I'm not saying they did a wrong choice or something like that there. I'm saying they were using a SharePoint for this deployment, which made the whole deployment very complex. So they are very dependent from any kind of transition. They are caught up in the technology, okay? Which is right, which is not wrong. It's got a lot of its own uses. But a lot of this thing, a normal website you have got, what if you develop a website in HTML5.js, okay? And you want to expand infinitely. You have got 1 lakh people coming silently, and you run a viral campaign, you want to scale infinitely. You can use Azure website. Automatically, it will handle this code based on expected number of HTTP requests. It keep on scaling. While you're scaling, it is not the static website only you have to scale. What about the background number crunching you have to do? Maybe you are running some kind of user analytics and you have to say consumer data report. So what you're doing is, now somebody will say, a large OEM will say, and come you, I'll sell you a big data product costing you $4.7 million, okay, to run your big data BI. He's made the sale. If you use the same website which you're using as of now, at 30% or 40% CPU, uses the same or 30% of 70 instances you have created, use a 30% CPU of that, I mean, you will be running the same background process at the same time and creating everything. You did not need it to do it. Okay? So technology is there. Because you heard the name of big data and you went and charged and big data application, that is totally up to you. But do you require it or you do not require it? That's the question. So websites, we will put web jobs or jobs within websites. So static websites, website designed for static websites. I'm running thread of applications within this thing. Okay. So I put a code. What is this code? It could be exe. I'll give you an example. Can a desktop application run on Azure? Yes or no? No. I'm saying run a desktop application, see from here. Here. Okay. So I asked the question in wrong context. Actually, you can do using a remote app. You're not thinking from a remote app point of view, but I'm saying something else. EXE, when you say an EXE, because we're talking about web application, we are only talking about a hosted IIS hosted core. But you want to run an EXE there, okay? It's like a TCP socket. Give an example. So if you want to do a socket application, what you do basically, okay? You need a Linux machine or a Windows machine, you open a socket port and put it down, it doesn't scale infinitely, and you say, data kyun nahi ja raha? So you said, sir, oh, socket is plugged and the buffer is so much and all that, all everybody comes with that thing. Think of a scalable socket application across 5,000 VMs. So for example, a banking transaction is happening at Pete at 11:30, okay? And I want to process this application. While people will come say net banking may issue and all that is there, if they have a distributed cache and they have rolled out 5,000 VMs for 34 minutes when the load comes, it could be just before going for lunch or just after coming from lunch or just 9 o'clock or 9:30 or 10 or 5 p.m. If you mine your data, I'm sure you will get very fixed pattern of your employees, even your visitors. It's a different pattern, okay? Everybody will pattern, you know, just before they come, they send, okay, there's a mail from HR or all that. When your CLDs come, you know, that first of second of this thing, very lot of hit. When your PMS or something, you know, the performance management systems comes and all that, lot of hits there. Those websites are always seasonal website, variants. See, cloud is best used for variants, where you are varying the full thing. And if you see varies, okay, so if you average it out, the actual usage is very less. The peaks are very important, and because of the peaks, you basically provision a high CPU. I'll give you an example. Somebody must be an IT ops guy and all that, and when your CTO tells you that I want to position, I want a hardware for infrastructure, what do? You call out your application vendor and he asks you, sir, but how many users you will handle? He says, yes, sir, 5,000 users. Sir, for 5,000, you can make a 16-core VM with a 56 GB RAM. Ask that fellow, out of 5,000 people, how many people will be concurrent? Nobody asks this question. And if you ask that question also, he gives an inflated number. He doesn't give an inflated number. The junior boss guy, the application vendor tells you 50 users. The fellow says 50 users. He keeps a buffer. He doesn't know anything. I'll keep 20% margin. 100 users. It comes to the middle manager. He says, this fellow doesn't know. I'll keep another buffer because something falls down. It will take me 20 days to get another server. What this fellow knows. By the time CTO decides, and CTO will keep his own margin because he has to answer to business tomorrow if everything falls down. He has created by 10 times. Why did they have to do? Did they not love their customer about the company? They were. But they're trying to save that business should not tomorrow come back to them that this whole thing has crashed down. But if you do a cloud on a on-premise, the biggest word is you do thick provisioning. You plan for the fattest time or the most biggest load. On a cloud, you always do thin provisioning. Once you get these keywords into there, very nicely done. So when you talk about, I'm talking about average 20 to 30% CPU uses, most of the time what you do, I keep running my web jobs into that. What are web jobs and what can you run? I'll discuss separately. This could be Python files, this could be EXE, this could be a lot of different things, this could be PHP code, multiple things you can run, okay? It could be a normal DLL also, depends on that. It could be a pipe, it could be anything, okay? Many things you can do, okay? Okay, reality check, we have got 15 minutes to go and I've got more than 40 slides to go, so I'll just jump fast. Anyway, I talk first, now I'll be super fast. Anyway, please stop me when you can. Web jobs, Azure websites. So this we are talking about, Azure websites, end user, okay, and we are trying to run. Enables you to run programs and scripts in your website in three ways, on demand, consult your honor schedule, okay? So depending on that, for example, you say, no, because of some reason, I don't want to run it daytime, okay? But you've got an EOD batch process which you do an EOD. Will you deploy a separate machine and separate application? You can do so. Fat company, do so. But if you want to save money, you know that evening, late night, if you are operating in an IST time zone, okay, why do you run it? Why don't you use the same machines? So use the same machines, okay? So it is, works beautifully for you, skills also beautifully for you. Remember one thing, when you talk about EXEs, we are not talking about single application. We are talking about 20 websites were already running in scale, taking users from all users, you know, load balance nicely. I created 20 more EXEs also. So when loading or something is being concerned, I'm loading at one side. See the beauty of Azure websites, and I did a parallelism in the morning also. In any other application, you can do a machine. So for example, you are talking about IES. Can I do in IES? You can do so. But in IES, if you had 100 machines, okay, provisioned and kept ready, you are running 10 only, but 90 images were ready. So if load comes, I'll bring 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th up. You can do so. But think practically, does it really work? Say, for example, if within 2 months or 3 months, you'll have a code release change. In code release, somebody has to upload the code into these 100 machines. Will he be able to do simultaneously? Impossible. That means you will get 100 employees to sit and at the same time, okay, clock starts now, done. And everybody load for immediately, it is not possible. I mean, you can. So the time from start of the code to end of 100 machine, it will be how much time? Maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe 1 hour, maybe 3 hours. So different codes is being running on the websites at different point of time. What are you doing? You have ruined your application already by now. Because your code was changed, your schema was changed, and your code is totally gone. Okay? Just to give you an example, okay? Azure websites work beautifully. You FTP into one, it automatically replicates into hundreds or 5,000 or whatever you want to do. Okay? No nearly limits. It doesn't mean you don't have limits. You have got soft limits from a data center capacity point of view, but those you can request and scale up. Okay? That is not a problem. Okay, what can you run? You know, somebody was trying to ask this question and tried to gather batch files, exes command, batch files, bash, shell scripts you can do, JavaScript, JS as a Node.js application you can do, PHP, Python, anything you can do. Okay, so what you got to do? No problems. See, all these, you don't have to bother so much. All of this information. See, what professor told me long time back, you know, at graduation, we don't teach you the answers. We only teach you where to look for answers. So don't worry, you'll find all this information. Believe me, the thing which I'm telling you now, the reason I'm telling you now, that means it's already outdated. Technology is evolving at such a fast pace. Whatever they are, the presentations are made. And believe me, I'm doing 10 speeches, you know, I've been in speaker sessions in a month. So this was made by a month back. Things have already changed. Every 15 days keep changing. From the latest part of documentation, whatever you learn from any speaker, please go to actual website. You'll find the right information there. Things will change, okay? We might send you 2 cents. By the time you go, it's 1.5 cents. You think it's a difference of only 0.5 cent. But no, when you're punching on millions of, you know, about 500 terabytes of data, you know what a 0.5 cent means to you. No? Totally depends, okay? So this is what you're talking about, WebRoll cloud service architecture, WebRoll search worker and email worker. Normally, you know, schedulers are for emails. For example, you want to do search, indexing of data. Do you think we do indexing at the real time? That means as soon as you search, does Google or Bing goes and start searching all the internet for the data? How do you think the search happens? When you do a web search, it's already there. It's ready. Nobody is looking up for you. The data is already there. Whatever you're searching, the key value pair is already ready and NoSQL just throws it out at you from the cache. That means again, it is a stale. It is not a new thing. Okay. Just throws out to you, nothing else. Give same kind of this thing that when you do a search worker, you have to index the data. For example, say for a normal application, you are doing an ERP application, and up till now you were just showing the user or the legal fellow just a PDF out of the application. But what if you want to show the legal fellow, depending on the clause or the invoice number or something like that, you want to show all the results to him? You will do a text mining on the PDF file, on the invoices, on the Word document, on Excel, everything and all that. Try to show me relevant kind of a data, okay? From a data mining point of view. Very normal kind of use case. So you do a search worker, it is just churning at the time. Same thing, emails. You want to send emails. Think about the SMS alert. You draw money, you do a transaction, you get an SMS alert. How does it happen? So don't you think these all bank, BFSI customers are paying large amount of money for doing this kind of push? Are they actually, think of the servers they will be requiring. Why, if they cannot do, and they will know the patterns, because most of the banking transactions will be happening again, not throughout, there will be various patterns. And for the spike, if they could use cloud for scalability, that time to receive the second, you know, from a 4 second, it could become to 1 second, or become 0.1 second, not 0.1 second, but you know, you can drastically reduce if they can use the power of cloud again, you know. So these are the various use cases where, please. See, now the question is, what do you say when you mean transaction, basically? Are you talking about an RDBMS transaction? No. So, see, now the thing is, this queue is the same as Azure queues, which is a part of storage. We are not talking about this queue. From a schematic point of view, it is showing as queue, and ideally, it should mean only Azure queues, but basically, it could mean your own queue also, which could be another web role or a web job. See, on a website, you have to do a quiz for email notifications, right? Or SMS alerts. What you do is generate, compile the email, and send it to another queue. And that queue will keep processing from a pop or push point of view. Okay. So it's a separate kind of, you can make various different modules and different infrastructure point of view and run it out. Okay. Azure WebJobs SDK install package, Microsoft, if you're using a PowerShell and all that, and you can directly use it. Makes queues, WebJobs easy, blobs, queues, table service bus. What are the difference? Again, this is what you, sorry, looking forward to is worker roles and versus what is the difference? Basically, this is what we're talking about. One is dedicated computing resources. Here we are not. Okay, we are doing shared. You see that Airbnb where you share houses when you go away, traveling and all that. When you do this thing, you're doing backpacking and all that. You share their houses and people are ready to give you your room from you and make a $50 point of view, you know. So it works out better for them, better for the other fellow also, and he's in a home. Same thing, you can share Azure websites with them. It scales with the websites, web jobs, SDK simplifies code, simple acute deployment model, simple out-of-the-box execution stream monitoring. You don't have to deploy something. Here you have to make an application, you have to do a packaging, deployment, everything. It is built in a part of your websites, nothing else, okay? You build an EXE, roll it out, no changes. Azure scheduler, river is very clear cut. Actions, HTTP in storage queue, error handler, configuration, retry, high availability, execution reliability, scheduling, fair ones, simple recurrence, compare schedule. Scheduling is, you can do multiple, you know, it's like a meeting. One-time meeting, one-off meeting, regular meeting, synchronized meeting, 15 minutes interval meetings, multiple things you can fire off. Okay, so there are various ways of doing it. Job authentication, there are, just from authentication point of view, I've separate, put out a separate slide. What are security point of view, okay? So there are various, for each of them, various securities are possible. Certificate-based security, base-64-based, token-based, single sign-on-based, whatever you want to implement. Nobody stops you from there. Okay, and, okay, this is what you were looking forward to. What are the differences and where does it lie, okay? Azure Scheduler adds scheduling capabilities to your app programmatically. Scheduling capabilities OT does not build your app. Okay, that is what you're using scheduler for. It's not that you cannot, again, because you can run a PY code or a Python code. It does not mean you can not put the code. But let the fellow do what it does best, you know. Again, it's like in a .NET code, can you not out processing and do a number crunching? You can do so. But should you do so? No. Separate out, okay? Make a good programming patterns, scalable patterns and all that. Great if you have an external endpoint, schedules your code but does not run it. Fundamentals, foundation services in Azure, mobile services, web jobs, backups and everything. Host your code, for example, I'll give you a simple, schedulers. Can you use Azure jobs for, SQL jobs for your backups and everything? Okay, you can do so, nobody's stopping you. What about you running it from here, where you run a SQL query to do a backup? So for example, you are doing SQL Azure and you don't have a periodic, this is the biggest problem in SQL Azure because it is not an assay rule, because it did not have an assay permission, you could not do jobs. Because you could not do jobs, you cannot run EOD transitions and everything. You can use a scheduler for that. And that was the primary reason for support SQL Azure. This came up 1.5 years back as part of the private preview. Where we said that this is required because everybody requires it, okay? Email notifications, SMS notifications, okay? Any kind of Windows mobile or push notifications, those things you have to do, okay? And Azure WebJobs host your own code, not only schedules, it's host your own code, okay? And runs in the context of your website, same compute resource, okay? So it runs in the context of the website and it scales with the website. On-premise, correct. You're wasting your money because as of now, makes sense. You know, for RDBMS point of view. No, what he did was right. This was a recommended way of doing it. But today.
It doesn't mean that it's right or not, but
correct.
On the case, we have.
Yes. So now, if today you have to do it and you were running some small website somewhere, you know, some PHP application or your corporate internet site or something like that, you could use that internet site, dump this VM, run the job within that site. Your site will be anyway up because you're not going to shut your corporate site anyway. Run the, in the context of that. So then you save the money of this virtual machine and you don't have to monitor it. All analytics, everything has to be there. So from a development point of view, development lifecycle point of view, deployment point of view, everything you've saved. So it's not a question of saving one package or one machine. It's a question of full DevOps cycle of maintaining it, packaging it, distributing it, you know, monitoring it, your consumption patterns, everything you have to do, okay? You just remove one application. It's like removing one application from your 160 applications you're running for the enterprise, okay? No, no, no. So are you talking about a non-Azure deployment?
Yes.
So this thing has been made for Azure. So something which is running within the fabric of Azure fabric, how can you take it out? It's like, correct. So you can learn from the technology and you can deploy your own. Nobody's stopping you from there. But can you take the same thing? But today, I mean, what is the future? See, future of that is you are giving a hardware cloud vendor is going. Tomorrow you have sunken cost in your data centers. It's a big, you have got 200, 500, 700 servers which are there, 16 core, 8 core machines. You're not going to throw them right away. Tomorrow the future of cloud will be this full Azure or whatever is running will be available at your data center also. Because vendor is not going to leave your data center and you are not going to leave the data center. So it is going to make money on both ends. It is going to use the infrastructure also and giving you availability of scaling to their cloud also. So you get both the functionalities. So tomorrow the future will be there because we are ultimately, you know, until the server breaks down, it is a 5 year old server also and the hardware refresh comes, we normally do not refresh it. Until, you know, the hard disk crashes, we say it is a part of maintenance life cycle. If we do not say that is a hardware refresh has already come, you know, though from a depreciation point of view, it might have come. So these are the related Azure services, schedulers, mobile services, batch, websites, automation, and I have not covered automation, is nearly the same. Automation is basically writing an automation code, okay, from a PowerShell point of view, from a Node.js point of view. I tend to show you the user interface if you interest you, okay. And these are the various things, PS, Shell, PHP I have already covered. This is the various user interface. I'll run through user interface so that you are at least able to identify tomorrow because, you know, it's just talk. Let's show into the user interface. Create an on-demand task, basic web job settings, just put a name, content zip files, it could be 100 MB. See, the application code size is up to 100 MB, which is very large. Okay, this thing, you can do a zip file, the, what is contained in the zip file from a manifest point of view, and everything is already given, it's already defined. So you can learn from there. And how to run on demand, okay? And conditional intelligence, again, run continuously. You see, the bottom is very important to you, a health file is very simple, you know, nothing, no brainer here, you know. And you can continue or you can schedule it separately, okay? Or can you do a schedule task? These are the very simple, run on a schedule. What reason you are going to run? One time job, recurring job, recur every minutes, five, ten minutes and everything and all that. Simple, what you will do in any kind of a scheduler kind of a system and you run it from there. This is what, you know, schedules, you can see the history of the schedules, who ran it, what time it ran, did it run, did it fail and all that. For example, what you do in job history in SQL, SQL Server, you can do the same thing here. You can do a job history, you can see if it failed or not failed, what was the error, everything, that everything information will be available to you. This is the job history we are talking about, okay, the full data, when it ran, what time it ran, what was the success 1 hour ago, 4 days ago and all that. Full logs will be available to you, okay? And you can collect these logs, maybe mine the data, maybe run another queue to process these logs. For example, success will dump and the failures want to give it back to the DevOps guys. And tell the DevOps guys, here is what errors you are getting, please find out what is the bug, why should you are getting an error. It is because of some reason or some kind of a clash or whatever, you know. So this is the whatever the UI, I've tried to save you 5 minutes and I'm still on track after being so fast. So I'll take 5 minutes break now. I want to take a question. Still, you got 5-10 minutes. I'll take up 5 minutes more. Use cases I've talked about. User interface I've showed you. There's no brainer in the user interface. It is a concept which you should drill down on. Okay. Why should we use it? What are the things available? What are other options available to me? You can do all jobs in a IIS machine. You can do all jobs on a web role or a worker role. Do you have better niche solutions available to you which solve the particular problem without denting your corporate budget or a TCO of the application? I think that is what is important, okay, from that point of view. So any questions from a practicality point of view? Yes, please. Then
it has an alert mechanism.
Correct. It does. So when you talk about web jobs, what you got, what you can, you connect it to another queue where series of failures are coming, okay, and we are running a process, and because of some reason, some process encoding fails or something, you know, we are running for very large media companies, etc. It fails. I've got another application running on another site which is a sorting as a queue for it. All failures it does, and between 500 code, 503 code, 505 code, 507 code, I'm sending it to different people. Different matter. It's a SQL problem, it's a DBA problem, it's a distinct problem, it could be a general problem. I can send any alerts. Because I'm able to process it, I can do various things. I can send an SMS alert to you. Your job is failed. I can give a success alert. For example, the fellow who has signed this code, and because I'm very referring to this, the fellow has, you know, signed a $4 million deal. And he says, why I should wait for 3 months to get the my songs to the customer. Why can't launch tomorrow? Because I mean he's losing money on 3 months, you know. He wanted to know something that okay, whenever my batch come like that, okay, with data be loaded, I should get a small SMS or a notification. My job is finished. I don't take any action. If it is failure, anyway, the people are taking action. But if success also give me a notification. Morning, I wake up 7 o'clock. Finished. Okay, very nice. My money is churning. Okay, something like that. Notification. So you can do notifications, email alerts, SMS notification, whatever you want to build. So the full SDK is available to you. You can capture them and take another sort of actions with them. No problems. SharePoint is totally different. I'm not talking about SharePoint at all. No. When I use the word workflow, it's a business workflow. I'm not talking about a WWF. Do not mix it. Or I'm talking about the SharePoint workflow. I'm not talking about that. Okay. So the overhang of SharePoint last session, leave it at SharePoint. And this is a totally city. I'm talking about from a business workflow. You can do it. Whenever you report on a job or this thing, it's a business job. It's not a job as such. It's a business job from a business workflow angle. It has nothing to do with this thing. Whether can you build a part of SharePoint execution into this and execute as a part of EXE or a .NET website, up to you. Nobody's stopping you. I'm talking about business workflow. See, I'm not saying that it is better than SharePoint. What I'm saying is, this is a normal application, Node.js or a .NET application, free of cost to you. When you try to deploy a SharePoint, talk to your CTO and tell him, I want to deploy a SharePoint site, this is my licensing cost, and believe me, you know what he's going to send at the end of the meeting. Try it one time. Okay. Try it one time when you bring out such guys. So please do. Can you find, I've got something for you. Can you find out where are our, some bags we gave or something like that? Can you find out? I feel very bad. People are asking, so interactive, we're not giving something. Yes, guys, please. Okay. See, tell me one thing, I'll tell you. Even if there are 5 jobs, if you're a developer, you will have one thread and 5 modules running within it. Let Azure put you any amount of restriction, you can bypass it. You will not be having any problem. Tell your developer, I want all these 5 things executed, number one. Number two is, basically what you want to see is within the same website, can I do 5 different kind of jobs? You can do so. Nobody is stopping you. But the question again is, why 5 different EXEs will you run? Okay, overhead, this thing, why can't you merge into one? See, simplicity is the biggest game. You can make the solution as complex as you want. Keep it simple. Tell the developer, why can't you give me one execution? Because he tried to load one and deleted the other one. He wanted to make change here. I told you number 2 job you do it weekly. You did number 4 job at weekly and number 2 job at, why to have such kind of discussion? You give chances of error, juniors will make mistake. Don't give chances of error. Put into one job. Various things. So for example, if you had only one scheduler, okay, when people said why you require scheduler, if you ask me, if you had only one scheduler and every 1 hour I do a job, then another module requires every 30 minutes, I put an I is equal to 0, 4 is equal to this thing, and every 30 I'll try to do that. Big thing to think about. Correct. Makes sense. Anybody was asking some question? Yes, please. My God, you should be a teacher here. You ask the questions like a teacher, okay. Again, repeat please. I lost you at the first phase also. What was the first question? What is the difference between worker and web job? Slide number 44 and 7. You missed it. Something like that, guys. I'll repeat it again for you. That's why before opening a session, I try to cover the full history of it. Let me ask this question. No, so I will not bring commercial this. I just want to give you, point it out to you. Microsoft is going to kill me, I will tell you, why should you save money? I am not here to advise you to save money. But the question is, you are already using the money. Worker role, why you use a worker? What is a worker role? Worker role is a full VM. 1 core, 2 core, 4 core. You are giving to a one work. Is it consuming in 80% or 90% of it or not? Okay, number one. three challenges, DevOps challenges. You have to deploy management challenges, billing challenges, TCO challenges. Why not use in the same website, put the same amount of code? You don't require an approval. You tell your manager, I've got five applications, all I did is one. And he'll say, how you read it? I said, don't worry, you know, I'm due for promotion, just promote me, nothing else. Yes, sorry. This was all about it. Instead of Windows service, he says, you can do this. This is all your Windows services. Actually, it should be Windows services. The scheduler is your Windows services. In Windows services, what you used to do, you want to deploy a code and you want to do a start and boot up and everything. Use VM extensions and the schedulers, your problem solved. Okay. Yes, please. Yes, everything. Everything in Azure is an API because believe me, Microsoft is a partner-led organization. Okay. So everything has got an API. And you have got REST APIs. Don't have to bother. Call from any code. No worries. Please. Good question. Finally, a technical question. Okay. Let's think about it. When you're running long-running jobs in the context of a website, what does it basically happen? Do you think technically I mean, these are too technical to discuss in a larger platform. How does a website work? You got an IIS website, you've got an IIS, and you're running a web application. Okay, how does it basically run? You got a one thread, not one of that, one actually www.exe, which is controlling that. We're running a separate process, okay. Are you worried that the CPU time available to www.exe will be killed? Is that your question? But your question is a rhetoric question because you're answering yourself. Because if you say, I have a long range process consuming more CPU cycles and my the top one process will get killed out, you have a built-in scalability. You will never reach that. You've already defined, if I get 80% more CPU, scale to one more. So at any point of time, based on your 60 to 80% rule, have you seen that Azure website, right? It by default, it gives you 60 to 80%, you can make a 70 to 80%, whatever. So based on, it will always try to keep the number of rows only so much that the CPU utilization is at least 70 to 80%. So you solve your problem anyway. So while your question technical, right, but you know, from a built, from on-premise point of view, agreed absolutely. From a cloud, does not work because the game is different. Okay, hold on, again. When you say website goes down while process is running, in what scenario it will happen? Because if your website goes down, that means IIS has gone down. And the context is within the IIS. So if IIS has gone down, both of these will go. It's like your home falls, you and your wife both will be in danger. So insure both of them. Don't insure your wife only. Sorry, I didn't understand. No, not exactly. It is not a separate process. It's running. It's like a, you have our self-hosted applications in IIS, .NET 4.5. What do? A hosted course? Just it's the same thing. It's a hosted core. Within the context of hosted core, everything runs. Yes. See, if they use anything else, they would have charged you for it. The reason they're not charging is because they're not running something else. There's a manifest available. You can show what is the pattern of manifest, XML declarations, everything is there. That will be done. I'm already 5 minutes beyond. If anybody wants to leave, thank you very much. And I don't want to keep you waiting and you have to go home and all the travel and everything. And I think the Pune traffic is not what it used to be once upon a time. So you're free to go. Thank you very much. I'll be here around and I'll take your offline questions. No worries, but I don't want to, trouble other people just because some people are asking questions. Thank you. And have a nice day tomorrow also. Good day. Thank you.